Samadhi is firmly established concentration. Sati is mindfulness, and Sampajanya is full awareness, clear comprehension. A person with good mindfulness and full awareness can study well, has good memory, and achieves good academic results. This is because of causes and conditions we have done well. Both the physical condition is complete, and the mental state has mindfulness in training, in listening, in reading, in thinking, and in reflecting with wisdom. We have achieved success from our studies and from our work activities in the same way. What we have done has been accompanied by concentration, a mind firmly established in those tasks. With mindfulness and full awareness in those tasks, together with wisdom, we can resolve various problems successfully. Problems that are heavier become lighter. Problems that are light can be solved without difficulty. But all these things that arise do so because of causes and conditions that we create. All phenomena have causes as their origin. Speaking of the highest level, then all phenomena concern suffering and the end of suffering, and this all has its causes and conditions. Suffering arises because of causes and conditions. It arises from upadana, clinging. With clinging as the cause, suffering arises. If there is no clinging, there is no suffering. If one practices sila, samadhi and panya, morality, concentration and wisdom, then the mind can have clear knowledge arise. When clinging cannot arise, then suffering cannot arise, because there is no cause for suffering. The great elder, the Venerable Sariputta, listened to the Dhamma from Venerable Asachi and understood it thoroughly. Thus he realized the Dhamma. This is the highest level of listening to the Dhamma, to know and see the Dhamma, or to attain to the Dhamma. Or when Venerable Sariputta listened to the Dhamma taught by the Buddha to Digganaka Brahman, the long-nailed Brahman. The Buddha taught that of all the Brahman desires and is pleased with, but will the Brahman be pleased with aging, sickness and death that he must inevitably receive? He said that he wasn't pleased with it. When one is not pleased, it is suffering. One must accept the truth. Digganaka Brahman accepted the truth and attained stream entry. Venerable Sariputta, the chief right-hand disciple, contemplated and immediately attained arahantship. In a single discourse, there was one who attained to the highest and one who saw and realized the Dhamma. The Dhamma of the Buddha is truly marvelous. We likely understand that all phenomena have causes as their origin. We've learnt about it continually. And out of kindness, I would like to let all the lay followers know that people today are all the same. Everyone has desires or needs to have happiness, prosperity, and peace of mind. But will all these things arise? If we remain still and do nothing, will we gain happiness? Will we gain prosperity? If we do not practice, will progress arise? Now for all of us, when we practice, then whatever we do, we want results quickly. The people of this era want things fast. The faster the better. And they like that very much. But consider this, in the matter of cultivating barami, spiritual perfections, the perfectly self-awakened Buddha, as a bodhisattva who aspired to become a Buddha, had to invest himself in cultivating all of the 10 perfections that we have heard about, starting from the perfection of giving, the perfection of morality, the perfection of loving-kindness, the perfection of renunciation, the perfection of truthfulness, the perfection of patience, and so on. The Buddha cultivated these 10 perfections completely, fully, In some lives, the perfection of patience was developed with great intensity. Even for those who practice meditation, we still have things we love and cherish, and giving them away is not easy, not easy at all. We must contemplate, we must make the mind empty, make the mind let go, and contemplate until we can. Only then will we feel that we can let go of attachment, let go of that clinging, and then we can give. If it is something ordinary, we can give it. If it is something we love, we can give it to someone we love. But giving it to people in general becomes even more difficult. It depends on training or cultivation until we gain strength. Or as we live in this world, no one escapes being criticized. Some receive praise. Sometimes they receive blame, both to their face and behind their back. Some people who are sincere with us may even criticize us to our face, yet they may have good intentions. They are said to be someone who points out a treasure for us. The Buddha said that when he teaches, he keeps correcting his disciples again and again, keeps pointing out their faults again and again. And whoever has a heartfelt aspiration for the paths and fruits of Nibbana will endure it. The Buddha does not treat them like a potter, handling clay pots with caution, afraid they might break. Indeed, he would admonish again and again without stopping. And whoever can endure it will attain the paths and fruits of Nibbana. Therefore, monks who live with Krubajans, great teachers, will be pressed upon through the teachings, and they must endure them. If one grows weary of the teachings and does not follow them, then one won't enter the path of practice leading to the paths and fruits of Nibbana in any way. So we must train ourselves, we must endure. When we are scolded or insulted, our mind may immediately flare up. Dissatisfaction arises instantly. It has been like this for a long time, over many lifetimes. Everyone is like this, but when we train and practice, it can improve. We may still feel anger, but we can endure it. Later, we can listen. Eventually, we can listen comfortably, without anger in the heart. Sometimes, Venerable Ajahn Chah would give an example. When we are criticized, insulted, or slandered, he would say, "If someone says we have a tail, would we be angry?" We check, do we have a tail? We don't have a tail, so that means what they have said is wrong. Then should we be angry with them? We probably shouldn't be angry with them. So here Ajahn Chah teaches with wisdom, with mindful awareness, to contemplate. It is not that whatever anyone says, we immediately become angry or upset. That is not right. There are reasons and causes. And when we practice, if we think everything will be smooth, that is not so. In studying, working, and meditation practice, there are always problems. When there are problems, we should be people who do not run away from them. When we don't run away from problems, we will solve them, and our perfections will begin to arise. Let us consider how those who cultivate spiritual perfections, the bodhisattvas, differ from ordinary people. The great bodhisattva cultivates perfections without stopping, without choosing, without bargaining with life. Whether it is difficult or very difficult, they still practice. They sacrifice because they understand the Dhamma. But ordinary people who train, if it is comfortable, they practice. If it is difficult, they do not. When we make merit, we want results. We do little merit, but want great results. We meditate only a little, but want peace. This is a real problem. Sometimes we even want results quickly. Like a young student who once asked Ajahn Chah, "Lungpo, how can one practice in a shortcut way quickly?" I was standing there, listening, and was quite stunned. This young man, was quite bold to ask Ajahn Chah this. Well, among the monks in the monastery, who would dare to ask this? In practice, I want quick results. No one dared to say such a thing in the monastery. Whether new monks, old monks, or senior monks, especially those who understood the Dhamma, they wouldn't say it. They would not even dare to think it, because they fear that the Dhamma that comes back would be stronger than their own mind, for the defilements are afraid in that way. But this young man had no experience. He was straightforward, so he asked, wanting a shortcut, wanting quick results. Ajahn Chah also gave a shortcut answer. Wanting it quick and direct, he said, "Do nothing at all. Just stay still, don't do anything." Accompanied by mindfulness and clear comprehension. This part I added myself. Ajahn Chah simply said, "Do nothing." This is also the shortest and most direct answer. When I heard it, it truly was very direct and very short. But we must reflect, if we do nothing, what will we get? Because we are in the process of doing it, we cannot just remain still, be indifferent, and let go like that. We aren't able to. We still have nothing at all. We only have hunger, so how can we become full? We have no wealth or money to buy anything, so how can we have rice filling the stores? We do not even have a field, no oxen or buffalo to plow it, no seeds, nothing planted. We have nothing at all, yet we want to have stores full of rice, cooked rice ready, and to eat until we are full. It is impossible, because all phenomena have causes as their origin, so we must first create the causes and conditions. No matter how difficult or hard it is, we must keep training, keep doing, keep enduring, little by little, like a tree that has been planted. It's like for me as well. There is a garden in the monastery, and the workers planted mango trees, small ones. I saw them and I looked at them every day, but they did not seem to grow much. They did grow, but not as fast as I wished. They grew little by little, but our eyes can hardly notice it. Then we forget. We stop paying attention for a long time. Later, when we look again, they are already full grown, some tall and large, full of leaves, already flowering and bearing fruit. Why is that? It receives water. There are no insects eating it, so it grows naturally. Because the causes and conditions are there, it develops and grows. But its growth is not as fast as our heart wants it to be. Therefore, practice is the same. We plant a tree, and when we want to see whether it has grown, we pull it up by the roots. I once read this in a book, and it really matches our mind. We want things quickly. We practice meditation, repeating Butoh. After a while, it isn't peaceful. We think it doesn't suit our temperament. Then we switch to watching the breath. After a while, it is still not peaceful, so we say, this also does not suit us, and we keep changing. In the end, there is no peace. It's like a tree. When it's planted and starts to grow a little, we want to check its growth, so we pull it up by the roots and then plant it again. Doing this repeatedly, the tree eventually dies. So the teachers instruct us that all meditation methods are skillful means to calm the mind. We should be confident, whether we practice Butoh or know the breath together with it, As we continue, the breath becomes softer and lighter. The word buto disappears. The breath disappears. The mind becomes still and peaceful. It's empty. Sometimes as we sit, everything becomes still and empty, peaceful, quiet, no sound is heard. Then gradually, awareness returns. Where am I sitting? We may not even know. Then mindfulness slowly returns. Perception gradually comes back. Oh, I'm sitting here, in this place. Because at that moment, everything had ceased. The place ceased, sensation ceased, the mind had sunk deeply inward. Such experiences happen to practitioners. There is rapture. There is happiness of heart, fullness of heart, coolness of mind, like sitting in an air-conditioned room. There is even rapture to the point of tears flowing. The body may feel large and expanded. Understand that these things are rapture, a calmness of mind that arises because thinking decreases. When we stop thinking or reduce thinking, there is peace. Whichever meditation method brings the mind to such calmness, continue practicing in that way, and we will encounter something good, that is, peace of mind. It is the path through which we will see the Dhamma. So living our lives in an auspicious way connects with to not associate with fools, to associate with the wise, and honoring those worthy of respect. This is the beginning of a good life. So, giving, observing precepts, practicing meditation, and listening to the Dhamma all fall within what makes life auspicious. When we encounter bad people, we look inwards. We ourselves were born into this world, and so we meet people who are not good. We recognize that this person is not good, and so we will also come to understand what a good person is like. We then seek good people, associate with good people, associate with the wise. When we obtain wealth, we should reflect that it is not permanent, and so we use some of it to create goodness. Goodness is not only giving dana. Keeping precepts is also good. Giving wisdom is also good. Sharing knowledge, teaching, advising, these too are forms of giving in the Dhamma. And when we keep practicing without stopping, when we don't stop, we will encounter the truth. Ajahn Chah said, "Beneath the earth there is water. If we keep digging without stopping, we will find water. If we rub two pieces of bamboo together, the friction produces heat. But if we stop, it cools again. If we rub again, it heats. And then if we stop again, it cools. Then fire never arises." He said we must keep doing it continuously, maintaining steady practice. When it becomes hot, we keep rubbing without stopping, and eventually fire arises. Dhamma practice is like this. If we practice without stopping, with mindfulness and concentration, continually creating goodness, one day we will understand. One day we will know and see the Dhamma. It is like rubbing two pieces of bamboo together until fire appears. So may we continue to practice, or set our intention to cultivate goodness more intensely in what we are able to do. Take the Buddha, who cultivated perfections, as our recollection and inspiration. Whether it is the perfection of giving or morality, even when he was criticized, insulted, harmed, or even to the point of death, he still practiced, meditated, and cultivated perfections in every lifetime. Take the Buddha as our highest ideal and recollection. We read the Buddha's biography, reflect on it, and practice accordingly. Then growth in the Dhamma will come to all of us. May you all grow in blessings.